The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hi, this is Sam Smith, and this is my podcast, which you can get at bulls.com, I hope, and iTunes. I think it's also on MeTunes, and I'm checking, but not Looney Tunes. Oh, man, I just came up with that. That wasn't bad. Yes, it was. All right. First, playoffs, in case anybody missed last week. Bulls were out, defeated in the second round by Miami, if you didn't have the internet. But Spurs, as we know, going to be in the finals again for the fifth time since 1999. That really is an impressive run. We don't know if they're going to get their fifth title. And this is something I'm going to think about, maybe write about at some point. But if they were to win a fifth title in 14 years, in a span of 14 years, with essentially the same group. Obviously, it was first Duncan and David Robinson. David Robinson played through 03 when Tony Parker and Manu came along. And those guys have been, David left after that, and Manu, and those three have been there since then. But, you know, how great is that run? I mean, obviously, Boston's the best ever with eight in a row. But is that better than 6 and 8 years the Bulls had? Lakers in the 90s? I mean, in the 80s? It has to be in competition with all of those. It's probably worth breaking down and talking about. Anyway, that said, it's uncertain yet. The East, we assume it's going to be Miami to get there to the conference finals, to the NBA finals, which we expected all season long. And I think that would be a heck of a final series if it turns out to be San Antonio and the Heat. I think even if the Heat do get there, which, as I said, certainly looks like they will, and, you know, with five-game series with Chicago, is not exactly exposing you, but I think Miami has been exposed to a certain extent, and that's in large part because of the play of Dwayne Wade, and not because he's not trying or not a high-level player, but if you have that many knee surgeries as he's had and knee problems as he's had, I mean, all you have to look is his players, and he's not there yet, Tracy McGrady or Penny Hardaway. You know, when you have multiple Sean Elliott, when you have multiple procedures year after year and play as hard as he did and as effective as he did and having to carry teams as many years as he did through that first title in 06 and then those next 4 years, basically, until they got LeBron, that takes a tremendous toll. And, you know, we've seen, even though while Dwayne's had moments in these playoffs, he's not the same kind of guy who could beat you off the dribble and score and put up those huge numbers. And if he gets into the finals and is not that player, I think it's going to be tough for Miami to beat the Spurs, you know, which is sort of shocking if you go back to the beginning of the season and say, you know, yeah, we thought Miami would be in. And the Spurs, and I've been there the last couple of years, had the best record in the West a couple of times or close, had it this year. But, you know, just with the age and the other issues and slowing down of Duncan and all these things, Ginobili injured a lot, there's always something happened. And you know, credit Popovich, those guys have come in probably healthier than they've been, you know, given the rest. Now, he's rested them before. In previous years, but Duncan's really, you know, gotten in shape more, lost weight, has had a real renaissance year, playing really light on his feet, doesn't jump that high anymore. Not that he was ever a huge leaper. Doesn't quite have the spring, but really just still an effective player, plays high, keeps that ball up high. You know, mistakes so many big guys make, and gathering themselves and bringing the ball down. He's, you know, one of the things I give to Shaq was, with his nicknames that they're very practiced. Shaq is not particularly spontaneous, but he does think up these things. And when he called him that big fundamental at that All-Star game, I think it nailed it exactly right. He's such a sound player, does things the right way, competes hard. And, you know, with his being in better shape and playing like he is, the size could, especially with Splitter, being an effective defensive player now and having that kind of size against Miami, you don't know if Miami is going to be able to play small. And once they try to bring in big guys, changes what they do. So it could be a heck of a series. I'll get more into that next week, which is really why you want to tune in again before the finals, which start June 6th. So Spurs have a long rest, which basically will be about 6 days of stories about whether they have too much rest and they're not going to be sharp, so which is a bad thing, or it's a good thing because they're old and they get a lot of rest. And we'll have the answer to that probably halftime of game one. Anyway, one thing I mentioned in my NBA notes, just in passing, because it's something I would talk about over the next, and I'm probably going to try to do this podcast at least probably through the end of June, through the draft and to the beginning of free agency probably. But we'll see how long I last on that. But this will be something I'll get into more, obviously, in one of my go-to topics. But I think this is going to be a pretty active summer trading season. Next summer is probably going to be much bigger, 2014, with LeBron a free agent. And the way Miami is, I wouldn't say collapsing, because they could still win another title, and they'll be good next year. But I think LeBron will definitely be an opt-out next in 2014, which would mean Botch will be, because he kind of follows the other guys around. Carmelo, depending on what the Knicks do, but though you think he would want to stay there because he sort of likes the fashion element of being in New York. But there could be, you know, some huge balance of power things coming in 2014. You know, not quite to that level this summer, but obviously we're going to be dealing with the Dwight Howard drama again, since there's only drama around Howard. And, you know, again, it's going to be interesting. Look, as difficult as the guy is, as much of a clown as he behaves as, and an immature baby that he is, he's a force. You know, he clearly wasn't that healthy this year coming off back surgery. But I give him credit. He played, put up good numbers. You know, he was a pain, as he often is. Doesn't take things seriously. But there are going to be serious questions about whether he wants to stay in L.A., you know, given his relationships with Kobe, which I hear is better than it's given credit for. Mike D'Antoni, which is probably not better than it's given credit for. The circumstance with the Lakers, where Kobe will be a free agent after next season. Would the Lakers try to keep him long term, which you would think, well, you know, legendary figure, or, you know, can they get LeBron? Hey, it's a business, as we always hear. But obviously that's up the road. But Howard, you know, has got some major choices. Houston, I think, is the main one, you know, partially because, as LeBron did and, you know, in Bosch with Miami and pointed it out then, the lack of state tax, which sort of offsets a little bit the free agency thing, where you're taking one fewer year and a little less money. But the larger part, Houston could have a chance to have a really great team. Obviously, Harden's turned into an all-NBA player. And if they were to get and they have room for free agency, they could get Howard. And then they could trade Omer Asik, who would bring you a high-level player. You know, a center who rebounds like that, probably an all-league defensive player, that will bring you a great player. And so, you know, you have Parsons, you have Lynn, you have Harden, and you have Howard, and you're able to move Asik and get yourself another player, plus Thomas Robinson, some of the other guys you picked up. Houston could really, you know, make a big move. And then, of course, there's Atlanta, who may try, and Dallas, of course, which has stripped down their team and probably going nowhere. So the Howard thing's going to come up again. And by all indications, Chris Paul is going to stay in L.A., obviously, now that he's got his first coaching scalp with Vinny Del Negro. Maybe he gets back Byron Scott, who he liked and enjoyed playing for in New Orleans. Lionel Hollins, now that Memphis is lost as a free agent, is going to be in great demand. But Paul, all indications of Paul wants to stay there. And Pau Gasol, depending on the Howard thing, if Howard were to resign, He'll certainly be traded, so that would be a big name. You know, the Boston guys, what happens with Paul Pierce and Garnett, Josh Smith, Al Jefferson, obviously going to be out of there, maybe even Paul Millsap too with Utah. So, you know, there's certainly going to be some big names. One of the things I wrote about in my NBA column, pure speculation, which I like to do for the fun of it. You know, I've done for many years, and really to just talk about teams. But one of the names that always comes up is Kevin Love in Minnesota. Now, I don't think there's anything much to that. It was Love had expressed some disappointment before he got hurt for the season, basically about he didn't get as good a contract as he could have potentially got. He was not particularly enamored of the GM, David Kahn. Kahn's since been replaced by Flip Saunders, who's a more conservative veteran NBA guy. He's not going to do anything dramatic, not going to be pushed into any trade if Love is unhappy. And I love this stuff. Every time a player says something or is implied that fans feel a team has to trade him, and of course they don't have to trade him. You know, he doesn't have to be happy. He's making $15 million. So what's he going to do? And plus, actually, it's against the rules now in the NBA to demand the trade. So, which is kind of odd too, but which is something I don't subscribe to. Nevertheless, but there's no indication that he's pushing it, and he can't opt out until 2015, so he has no leverage. So he's likely not going anywhere unless Minnesota wants to. Now, that said, I think there could be a really interesting deal out there for two teams. You know, I can see where Portland wants a break away from that group. You know, with Brandon Roy having gone, probably retired finally again after retired one time. Greg Oden obviously out and, you know, maybe making a comeback. Who knows? You know, and with LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, and now, you know, I could see them wanting to move on behind their point guard, some of their younger players. Batum they've embraced as well. And, you know, the one thing you always heard from Love is he's from Oregon. Like to get back to the West Coast. Aldridge, you know, while he's an all-star level player, gets criticized in Portland for his lack of rebounding. So what could make sense, and I wrote, speculated about that, and it's, again, it's me. You know, it's me coming up with it. Nothing that it was discussed that I know of. But I could see that making sense where Minnesota, say, gets back Aldridge and Wes Matthews, since they need a two-guard. A big two guard to play along with Rubio. Somebody could defend and make some shots. And then you get an Aldridge, a post player, with Pekovic, their center, and that's, you got a pretty decent team. And I can see Portland, on the other hand, enchanted about getting the guy from, you know, back home in Oregon, a guy who's a great rebounder, one of the better rebounders in the league, you know, and a deal that could win-win, as they like to say, for both teams. So anyway, that's just my something to watch in the offseason. I know Bulls fans write me all the time about Kevin Love. He's not coming to Chicago. For the main reason is they don't have any pieces to match, giving up something of the order of Aldridge and Matthews, which essentially the equivalent of Chicago would be giving them Noah and Jimmy Butler. The Bulls are not going to make that sort of kind of move, you know, move two major pieces to get one piece like that. No. They don't want Carlos Boozer. As good a season as he had and everything, you know, talking about a player into his 30s now, big contract, a couple more years at $16 million. Too hard to trade a player like that. That said, you know, I could see an all-star for all-star kind of deal. That's the kind of thing. If you're going to trade Kevin Love, you got to get back a legitimate all-star, which Aldridge had been. So, you know, those are some of the names I think are going to come up. There's going to be a lot of speculation. And part of that is going to be because of the draft. So let me talk about that a little bit now that we had the lottery last week and Cleveland got the number one pick. Not the greatest year to get the number one pick, but because of that, I think there's going to be tremendous uncertainty and a huge number of rumors about deals coming into the draft, which is going to make the draft probably, for fans, more interesting than ever. You know, when you have like a Derrick Rose or certainly a LeBron James, it's a boring draft. We know who's going to be number one. We know for weeks. We have no idea who's going to be number one, and we won't know right up to the time it's picked. And we probably won't even know what team's picking. You know, Cleveland could trade out of that. Now, what I would probably do if I were Cleveland, which is, you know, they've talked about, well, we don't want to go back to the lottery again. But you know what? They should one more time. And the other thing is, you know, the opt-out possibly is LeBron. I do believe LeBron would like to return to Cleveland on good footing. You know, he still lives in Akron. You know, he really is a guy who is devoted to his community, devoted to his friends. You know, he's basically, you know, a very, very good, decent person, very loyal. And I think it did hurt him to leave. I believe he did want to stay. He tried to get Bosch. He tried to get other guys to sign in Cleveland and couldn't. And I think, you know, leaving was not his first choice. So with Kyrie Irving there, you've got a star player, you know, one of the star point guards in the league in the future. You've got a couple other pieces. You know, say you pick Nerlens Noel, and I don't know if that's Christmas Noel, the way you pronounce that, but say you pick him, he's going to be out until midseason, until Christmas, as I think Noel part of it is, from his ACL. You probably sabotage the season on some level. And as we all have heard already, the 2014 draft is one of these incredible drafts coming up. Kid Wiggins from Canada, Mitchell Wiggins' son, is supposedly a transcendent player, best player to come out of into the draft since LeBron. Several top players after him that you could add a rookie, you could step right into your starting lineup right away, which is not often. And then if you could do that, get in the top of the lottery again, if you were Cleveland, what you have, and then with Noel coming back, you know, a legitimate athletic shot blocker of that level, that would be a pretty appealing team for LeBron James to at least give consideration to. But that said, you know, there's a number of good players at the top. A couple of scouts have told me the top five players in this draft wouldn't be in the top five next season. So that said, you know, I think you're still looking at very good NBA players, you know, not super NBA players. McLemore, the shooting guard. Porter, Oladipo, the defensive guy. Bennett, you know, sort of Larry Johnson type. Trey Burke, you know, point guard, you know, big play, big time player, but a little small. Zeller, Len, you've got some talent, guys who can fit in, you know, probably six or eight guys who will certainly be starters in the league. Also a draft, you know, that looks very heavy on big guys. I don't know how ready they are, but Zeller and Len, you know, seem to be the top guys. I can't pronounce half these guys. The guy from Gonzaga, the guy from Pittsburgh, I could pronounce his name, Adams. The guy in Louisville, Dang. I think it's Dang. So I think there's going to be a number of big guys, but big guys, as we know, come the slowest. So those are the least ready to play in the NBA, take the most time to adjust, and the least we're going to see, you know, your wing players, your guards move in fastest. So, you know, in the Bulls case, down there, they'll be picking number 20. You know, it's all over the lot. One of the guys, you know, I have a sort of a feel for Tim Hardaway's son. Shooting guard, good size, 6'5", 6'6", something like that. You know, pretty good shooter, jeans, smart guy from NBA. I like those kind of guys. If you were there, but I know, you know, there's a lot of interest in potential big guy. Frankly, with the team they have, I think they're ready. You know, with Derek coming back next season, I think they're ready to seriously compete for a title next season. I don't really see them relying on a rookie big guy as the backup to Noah. So even though there's a number of guys like that, and you know they're projected to maybe step in back, if you're not getting high up, you know, with Zeller or maybe Len, I don't think you can get a guy that's going to give you a lot of minutes. I'd probably go for a wing player, maybe a shooter, a guy who could make a better, quicker transition, like a Jimmy Butler. You know, we've seen with the Bulls with Omer a couple of years ago, with Jimmy last year, with Marcus Teague this year, rookies don't get a lot of minutes. So I'm not sure about taking a project big guy, but I think it's certainly possible. I expect, you know, unless somebody falls, you know, it'd kind of be interesting. Shabazz Muhammad is a guy slipping, you know, a scorer, but a lot of teams have questions on him. If he got down to 20, would the Bulls take him? So, you know, it's always a guy like that to slip through, and then you have a decision to make. That said, you know, Cleveland's talked about deals. Washington moved up to 3. They could deal. You know, because they're ready. They see themselves as a playoff team. And so I think there's going to be, you know, a tremendous amount of movement. There'll be teams wanting to fall, you know, go down. Since Charlotte is let out, maybe they would like to trade down already, you know. So I think it's going to be real interesting, you know, and fun draft week, because it's going to be a tremendous amount of rumors, the majority of them coming from sources who may or may not know, with the emphasis on the may not. But everybody will read them, and then they will say, yeah, you know what I heard. Anyway, so stick with me, because I'm just simply making them up and letting people know, but might make the most sense. That said, I'll be back with you next week to talk about the beginning of the finals. And, you know, I mean, even though no trades happen basically till the season's over, you can trade. The rules are, once you're eliminated from the playoffs, you can trade. And by the time I'm back next week, there were 28 teams eliminated from the playoffs. So I think we'll start getting the more playing talk, a trade talk. We'll see where a couple of more coaches moved. And you know, I think it's going to be a, you know, great, fun period of time leading up to the draft and free agency. So plenty to talk about, plenty to discuss, and plenty of iTunes to listen to me. All right, talk to you next week.